Psalm 119, and where we're going to pick up tonight, I believe, is in verse number 65. Verse number 65. I believe everybody is pretty well aware of most everybody's been here as we've been through this series that there's, you'd rather me use that, brother? Okay. Okay. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 sections of 8 verses of Scripture that make up Psalm 119. We established early on in the chapter that every verse, I think maybe it's 6 verses that indirectly mention the Word of God, and the rest of the verses directly mention the Word of God. And what stuck out in my heart in this section of Scripture is, I believe, something that will be a blessing to us tonight. Let's read the section. Verse 65, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And then it said in verse 72, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for this little passage of Scripture. Thank you for the privilege to have Brother Wares and his family with us tonight, for each one that's come. God, I'm well aware that there's a lot of sickness going around. But Lord, it makes me well aware that we have a home where we'll never be sick again. We have a home, our Father, where we'll never have to hear prayer requests again. But until then, God, we need your help. We need you, Lord, to clothe us in our calling. We need you to strengthen us. We need you, Lord, to help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to speak your word. And then, God, we need you to give us ears to hear, Lord, what the Spirit of God would say to us tonight. Lord, it truly is an honor to have the youth over in our service with us tonight. And Lord, I pray that I could say something that would be a blessing and a help to them tonight. Thank you, Father, for young people that love you. Young people, Lord, that want to serve you. And Lord, I just pray tonight you'd save that soul that's lost and strengthen your children. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. This letter, I think that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 9th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And I knew that the numerical value was 9, but I wanted to make sure that it was the 9th letter. It's the letter Tet. And it's a pictogram, or the pictogram of the letter is an open container. And you might say, "Well, preacher, what does that have to do with the Scripture?" Well, tonight we're going to see some things. So what I'm going to call the message is this: the God that deals well with his children. I want you to look with me, if you will, at that first verse. He said, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant." Boy, did God light a fire under that when I read that verse of Scripture. the God that deals well with his children. Now you understand, we'll get into this in a minute. Down in the verses here, there's affliction. And you've got a child of God saying, God, you know what you're doing. You've dealt well with me. That's what I needed, and Lord, you gave it to me, and you don't make any mistakes. I believe that's what Abraham was saying. Brother John was teaching about him Sunday morning when he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Honey, I tell you what, he does right. Amen. He never misses it. He's always right on time. He's always right on target. Amen. He knows what we need. The Word of God said, even before we ask. An open container. Think about in Matthew where it said in verse 51 of chapter 27, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The Bible said the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. I see two openings there. I see where God opened us an access into the holiest of all. Amen. A lot happened at Calvary, didn't it? Amen. And opened us an access, and then he opened us up a way where we didn't have to stay in paradise. Amen. We didn't have to stay in the heart of the earth. You remember before the resurrection of Christ, the believers were down there, and there was just a great gulf between them and the unbeliever because they could look across the way. But now when a believer dies, thanks to Calvary, thanks to the resurrection, to be absent from the body, he can just be present with the Lord in that very moment. That's what the Bible said. So I'm just trying to lay a little bit of groundwork here. This open, that pictogram of the open container. And then seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Not only, my friend, was the way, amen, open that we could come into the holiest of all, but we find a high priest in there that has his heart open, amen, and directed toward us, and we can find grace to help in our time of need. Amen. He was tempted in all points. He knows about the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. The numerical value is 9 of this letter 10. It represents finality, completion. Then this last thing is really important, peace in God. There's one way to have this peace, and that is to remember and to know that our God deals well with his children. If you don't get anything else tonight, when you go out of here, you just say, I got it settled. I don't care what I face tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. I don't care what I have to go through. My God deals well with his children. Amen. He knows what he's doing. By the way, I'm about to shout. Just thinking about Job. You know what Mrs. Job thought? God ain't dealing too well. It didn't look too well. He's burying children and covered in balls from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. I tell you one thing you can read in the book of Job. It was well with his soul. He said, he gives, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He didn't lose sight of that. He knew God was good before it happened. He was good while it was happening. He'll be good after it happens. Amen. The God that deals well with his children. I got stirred up thinking about that. Let me give you just, I think, 4 things tonight. I like to tell you how many things, because that's the degree that you'll get to praying. I mean, you know what I mean. Some of you would have fell plumb out if I'd have said, I want to give you 7 things tonight. Some of you will with 4, amen. But anyway, pray. I just want to give you 4 things briefly tonight. I have this on my heart as strong, amen. First of all, our God deals with us well in allowing us to be his servant. I don't know how you feel about that person you look at in the mirror, but that one I look at, he ain't worthy to be a servant of the Most High God. He's not worthy, amen. Listen, to serve alongside. You see, the Bible said, my friend, listen, that we're laborers together with God. Can you imagine that? We get to serve the Lord, and our God deals well with us. The Bible said here, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. I looked that up this morning. I'm not going to any of those verses. I believe 117 times in the Word of God, the little phrase, thy servant, is mentioned. Now, it's not always talking about serving God. You understand what I mean? It might have been somebody speaking to Elisha or somebody speaking to Elijah. But I'm telling you that servanthood is something to be treasured, to have the privilege to serve the Lord. By the way, I'm just going to say this tonight. Please listen to me carefully right here. Sometimes I think Christians are a little bit mixed up in that they believe, Brother Johnny, that coming to church is serving God. No, we come to church to worship God. We come to church to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember going into church one time when I was on deputation, and it said, enter to worship. And then as you went out, it said, depart to serve. Amen. We're supposed to go out there and be lights and go out there and serve the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you serve the Lord? By serving others. That's how you serve the Lord, by serving others. Think about these verses just quickly. In Deuteronomy 10:12, the Bible said, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. I tell you, listen, it's not optional for a child of God. God requires us to serve him. Amen. It's not something you can do if you feel like it or if you want to. My friend, we're commanded to serve the Lord. The Bible said in Joshua 24:15, I love Joshua, don't you? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I think that, Brother Johnny, in careers and college and our young people, and he was talking about Will and Hannah and Abby. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to incorporate and include him in our plans. As a matter of fact, he ought to be the one leading in the plan. Amen. He has a plan for our life, and it certainly ought to end us up serving the Lord. In Psalm 2:11, the Bible said, serve the Lord with fear. So we found out that there was a determination to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord with all of our heart. Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. In Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I think about, I didn't plan on saying this, but I think, I don't know why, Brother John, but I go back in my mind to that revival in Sargoinsville when Brother Mitchell was preaching down there. And he said, buddy, he said, if I would have went into the church the way the average church is today, he said, I don't know if I'd have got saved or not. You know what happened? He went in there and they had some gladness in their heart. They had some joy in their heart. My friend, they weren't going through the motions. Amen. They loved God and it stuck out on them. Amen. Reminded me of the little boy, Sunday school, how they taught him, you know, that God was omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. And then they got in there the next Sunday teaching on salvation and teaching that the God of glory wants to come into your heart and life, and he wants to be your Savior. The little boy raised his hand when that class was over and said, you told us last week how big he is. And you told us this week he wants to come into our heart. Said, it looks to me like if he comes in my heart, he'd have to stick out somewhere. And I think that's what we ought to be doing. Amen. Is just living our lives so that he sticks out somewhere. Amen. And yielding our lives to him. My friend, really, that's what serving the Lord is. It's not us doing for him. It's him doing through us. That's what serving the Lord is. Amen. And then, not only serve the Lord with gladness, but in Colossians 3:24, knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I just want to say this. It's come to my mind when I was studying. There's going to be a payday. There's going to be a payday. I got on the internet and I was looking for the lyrics to the song Payday Someday, and I ran across, somebody has posted a video of R.G. Lee. And maybe years ago I heard about that message, but I'm telling you, I only listened to about 15 or 20 minutes of it today, but I'm going to go back and listen to it. That man is preaching a message entitled Payday Someday. But I'm going to tell you, he's got it in the other aspect, and actually what he was preaching on, I wish I could have found it before I preached the message on Naboth's vineyard, because that's what he was preaching on, how that for Ahab and Jezebel, there was a payday down the road for their wickedness, amen, and there'll be a payday for righteousness, and there'll be a payday for wickedness, amen, and so we need to serve the Lord. A.T. Pearson, he wrote this. He said, whatever is done for God without respect of its comparative character as related to other acts is service, and only that is service. Service is, comprehensively speaking, doing the will of God. He is the object. All is for Him, for His sake, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Hence, even the humblest act of the humblest disciple acquires a certain divine quality by its being done with reference to Him. The supreme test of service is this: for whom am I doing this? Much that we call service to Christ is not service at all. If we are doing this for Christ, we shall not care for human reward or recognition. Our work must again be tested by three propositions. Is it work from God? Did God tell us to do it? Is it work for God, as finding in Him the secret to do the work through His power, and with God as only a part of His work in which we engage as co-workers with Him? I thought that was worth reading tonight. Amen. I believe with all of my heart God wants us to serve Him, don't you? And when we do, He has dealt well in allowing us to be His servant, to serve the Lord. Now, let me give you this secondly tonight. Not only does our God deal well with us in allowing us to be His servant, but our God deals well with us in allowing us to have the Scripture. You might not understand this tonight, and I know you're reminded once in a while, but it's not this way all over the world. We've got Bibles upon Bibles. If you've got what they call a smartphone, there's all kinds of free downloads where you can download the Scripture. My phone goes off every morning at 8 o'clock, and a Scripture comes up on that. And you say, preacher, why would you want to be reminded of Scripture? I'm going to tell you, you can get a lot, too much of a lot of things, but the Bible's not something you can get too much of. Amen. I believe we need the Word of God. And our God deals well with us in allowing us to have the Scripture. He said, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Then He finishes the verse by saying, according unto thy word. According unto thy word. I'll give you something. This goes real good with the missionary tonight and the work that needs to be done in Portugal. I thought about the Scripture. Number one, we have the Scripture preached to us. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. How many's glad you're living in a place where you had the Scripture preached to you? Amen. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God let me come up under a preacher that didn't tickle my ears but preached the Word of God like it was to me, like I was, that I might understand my need of Him. We see the Scripture preached to us. We see the Scripture reaches us. See, you can think, man, I am so far gone. There's probably somebody in that town right now, Brother Wares, that thinks I am so far gone. There's no way anybody could help me. But I tell you, once you begin to hear this blessed old book, this Scripture will reach down into your heart. And the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses me. The Scripture preached to us. The Scripture reaches us. But then look here, a lot of people, for some reason, they kind of bog down right there. I'm saved, And they just, that's about where they stay. That was never God's plan for the believer. God not only has a plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in the Calvary shed blood, but God has a plan of sanctification for the believer's life. You say, preacher, when's he going to get done with that? I'll tell you when. Either when Jesus comes or when you breathe your last breath, that process will be done. Amen. And we're going to be like him. But until then, he's working on us. He's working in us. He's working through us. And not only does the scripture, is it preached to us and it reaches us, but look at verse 66. Teach me good judgment. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. I want to say the scripture not only is preached to us, not only does it reach us, but it's the scripture that teaches us. We need to be taught. I mean, when you go to first grade, they didn't have kindergarten when I was in school. They didn't have preschool when I was in school. So I started in kindergarten. I started in first grade. They didn't even have kindergarten in Bel Air, Maryland. But have you figured out that if somebody is in the first grade for 4 years, there's something wrong? You're supposed to learn something in the first grade, and then you're supposed to go to the second grade, and then you're supposed to go to the third grade. Once in a while, there's problems. For whatever the reason, some people have learning disabilities, and they may have to be held back a grade, and some may have to be held back more than one grade. I'm not putting them down, but I'm telling you that there's something wrong if you think the first grade is all of it. God wants us to continue to grow and to learn in grace and knowledge. And you say, preacher, what's the point in that? He deals well with us in allowing us to have the scripture that we can grow. Thereby, the Bible said in verse 66, uses the word teach me. Look at verse number 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The psalmist wants to know. He wants to know more. I love that song. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness. See, more of the one who died for me. We ought to want to know more about him. Teach us, Lord. Look at verse 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God doesn't want to just reach us. He wants to teach us. Amen. He wants to teach us. And by the way, it'd be a good time right there. Sister Kim, you can tell Brother Brian I put in a plug for Sunday school. Amen. There's a place for preaching, but there's a place for teaching. Amen. The teaching of the Word of God. We need that. We need the teaching of the Word of God. I think God has dealt well with us, don't you? In allowing us to be His servant. In allowing us to have the Scripture. I don't believe God wants the Bible to be laid over to the side. I believe that God wants the Bible to be laid on the inside. Laid up inside of us. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I remember I used an illustration one time. They didn't have a bottle of water. I'm all for bottled water, and I like it. But they had a cup of water on the pulpit. And while I was preaching, I can't remember exactly what I was preaching on, but if I had it to do over again, I would have named the sermon, "Is There a Penny in Your Cup?" Because while I was preaching, there was a cup full of water. And I took a little sip out of that water. It was clean. It was cold. And then I reached in my pocket and I said, "Now that's good water." And then I dropped a penny in it. I said, "Who wants a drink now?" No longer is it a cup full of water. It's a cup full of water. But that penny displaced the room that penny takes up. And the illustration is this: God wants us to be a vessel that He can fill with His Spirit and fill with His Word. I can remember so well, I preached that message
And I could tell you where it's at, and I'm not going to. I have to remember this stuff goes out over the internet. Amen. But anyway, I can remember like it was yesterday. It doesn't happen to me very often. But this man came to me, and he rebuked me. He said, "You done all right, preacher, until you went to preaching on them politics." Oh, I don't know what I was doing. I'm not, you know how I am. Say amen. Every once in a while, it'll run out of me. Amen. I get sick with some of the stuff that's going on in this country. And he said, "Done all right." And I just took it, Brother Rose. I just took it. And it kind of didn't set well with me. I didn't get angry. But I always try to examine myself. When somebody's critical of you, I learned this a long time ago. Everything they're saying may not be true, but if you'll listen real closely, part of it probably is. Say amen. And it'll help you if you'll just, you know, don't throw it all out with the bathwater, so to speak. Listen to it. I was standing there chewing on it a little bit. He'd done gone back through the church. And another lady came to me. Tears. She was just bawling. I was talking about there's the penny in your cup. I'm talking about things in your life that's hindering the Word of God, hindering you from your walk with God, hindering you from being surrendered to God. And this lady came to me with, she was weeping, and she said, I need you to pray for my husband. And I said, "Sister, I will." It was evident she was broken. I said, "Who is your husband? Somebody want to guess who she pointed to?" I'm real interested now. I said, "Sis, just exactly how do I need to pray?" She said, "Preacher, his cup is full of pennies." There wasn't a penny in the cup full of water. She said, "The cup is full of pennies." I said, "Okay, Lord, I understand now. It wasn't the politics that was bothering him. Help me tonight." Amen. It was the preaching of the Word of God that was bothering him. And so God has dealt well with us and allowing us to have the Scripture and allowing us to be His servant. And then God has dealt well with us. Our God deals with us well in allowing us to experience sickness. That's the third point in the message, and I'll hurry. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." How many remembers the story of Job? Remember the so-called friends that come along and counseled him? And how many remembers how Job ends up? You get over there and he's kind of in a conversation, but God kind of wins out in the conversation, doesn't he? He said, "Job, where were you? Job, can you tell the waters to stop right there?" Amen. And Job kind of, if you read chapter 30, I think it might be part of 38 and 39, he kind of gets put in his place, so to speak. And by the way, I'll just say that this Bible will put us in our place. Amen. Now, I've seen a lot of preachers. I pray to God I'll not be guilty of it. But I've seen a lot of preachers get in the flesh and try to put people in their place. But I found this out. This book will put us in our place. And it won't do it in the flesh. It'll do it in the Spirit. It'll do it in the power of God. But Job comes along in chapter number 42. He said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." He said, "But now mine eyes seeth thee." He said, "Wherefore I abhor myself." That's Job talking to me. He said, "I hate myself, God." And he said, "I repent in dust and ashes." You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, hey, Job would say, "God, you did well. You dealt with me well. Amen. You've helped me, God. I understand you better. And I love you better. And I love you more." Then you get down there in the latter part, and everything was restored double. And somebody asked me one time, said, "Well, he didn't get 20 children." I said, "Yes, he did. He just has 10 in heaven and 10 on earth." By the way, that's a proof text that there's a difference between a cow and a child. Say amen right there. He had 10 children in heaven, had 10 on earth. God did deal with him well. And Job would say that. I want to read this. I thought it was good. I can't remember now who I read this after, but it's a prayer. It said, Lord, whose spirit is so good and so gentle in all things, and who art so compassionate that not only all prosperity, but even all afflictions that come to thine elect are the results of thy compassion. Grant me grace that I may not do as the pagans do in the condition to which thy justice has reduced me. Grant that as a true Christian I may recognize thee as my Father and my God in whatever state I find myself. Since the change in my condition brings no change in thy own, for thou art the same. Though I be subject to change, thou art God no less. Thou dost afflict, and when thou dost punish, that when thou dost console, and when thou dost manifest indulgence, thou hast given me health that I might serve thee, and I have profaned it. Now thou dost send me illness to correct my ways. Do not permit me to use it to anger thee by my impatience. I have misused my health, and thou hast justly punished me for it. Do not suffer me to misuse thy punishment. I need to say something right here. Listen to me carefully. That was this man's prayer. And God knew what was going on in this man's heart. But it is a mistake, a bad mistake, to think that every time somebody's sick, they're being punished by God. Have you heard what I just said? It is a bad mistake. You say, preacher, then where does sickness come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. The curse of sin. And listen, in the Revelation chapter number 22, there's going to be no more curse. But until then, there's going to be sickness. There's going to be strokes. There's going to be heart attacks. There's going to be cancer. There are going to be car wrecks where people leave out into eternity suddenly because we're living in a sin-stricken world. Though even the creation understands that and groans to be delivered. And the Bible said one day when they are delivered, the trees of the field will clap their hands. Glory to God, there's no more curse. The lamb and the lion will lay down beside one another. I tell you, God knows what he's doing. Even in our sickness, our God deals well with us in allowing us to experience sickness. One more thing here and I'm done. Our God deals well with us in allowing us to enjoy substance. This is the last thing. I'm not going to be long, but you better stay with me right here. There's something to be said. Look what the Bible said in verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, you know what a lot of people would do if they told the truth? They would say, gold and silver is better unto me than the law of thy mouth. Now, you listen to me. You hear me well right here. I know what shift work is, and I know where we live. My boy just got off of shift work. He's been farming and passing his youngins and passing his wife. You know how that goes, working 12-hour. I personally believe God made the day to work in and made the night to sleep in. Amen. But I know what that is. And it's one thing to be on a shift and be on shift work. It's another thing to be volunteering every time something comes open on Sunday. I said it. I ain't taking it back. It's not all mandatory. Amen. Some of it goes right in the regular schedule and you can't help it. And I understand that. But I'm telling you, not everybody that names the name of Christ is more interested in God's word than they are gold. And here, what God is telling us, he deals well with us in allowing us to enjoy substance. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. A lot of people forget this. They look, well, that rich man, he died and lift his eyes in hell. Well, I wonder why he done that. Because he was rich? No, because he rejected Christ. You say you got scripture for that? Sure I do. Look across the Gulf. I dare say to you that Abraham was richer than he would ever even dream of being. But Abraham believed God. Now listen to me carefully, right? Here's the difference. Abraham had riches. Riches didn't have Abraham. Abraham had gold, but Abraham had a God that meant more to him than gold. I know some great Christians that are blessed financially and blessed materially. There's nothing wrong with having things, but there's something wrong when things have you. The Bible said, hear the law of thy mouth. It's better to me than thousands of gold and silver. The believer has things to enjoy. And many people in this world, the things, instead of enjoying those things, they are enslaved by those things. Right? You know it's true. Let me read this to you and we'll close out here in just a minute. This lady's name is Marjorie Holmes. She said, help me not to put too much stock in possessions, Lord. I want things, sure. But life seems to be a continual round of wanting things. From the first toys we fight over as children. When I read that today, I thought about my brother. My brother got saved. Back then, neither one of us were saved. We were kids. And Mama got me a train set. And my brother was jealous. And my brother picked up a big rock and set my... Now, he didn't set the caboose up on a rock. He set the engine up on a rock. Set it up on a rock and took another rock. Who does that sound like? That sounds like your boys, don't it, brother? Amen, brother. No, it sounds like that Adam coming out of us, don't it? Sounds like Cain and Abel, right? You remember when you got your toys? Thrilled unwrapping, the thrill of unwrapping wedding presents to those we buy in our old age. Our concern is not primarily love and friends and pride in what we can do, but things. Sometimes I'm ashamed of how much I want mere possessions. Things for my husband. Things for the house, things for the children. Yes, and things for myself too. And this hunger is enhanced every time I turn on the television or walk through a shopping mall. My senses are tormented by the dazzling world of things. And she said, Lord, cool these fires of wanting. Help me to realize how futile is this passion for possessions. Because... And this is what strips my values to the bone. One of my best friends died today in the very midst of her possessions. She was in the beautiful home she and her husband had worked so hard to achieve. The home that was finally furnished the way she wanted it. With the best of everything. She was surrounded by the oriental rugs that she was so proud of. The formal French sofas, the paintings, the china, the glass. The handsome silver service. She had been snatched away while silently, almost cruelly, the possessions remain. Lord, I grieve for my friend. My heart hurts that she had so little time to enjoy the things that she had earned and that meant so much to her. But let me learn something from this, Lord, that possessions are meant to enhance life. Not to become the main focus of living. Help me remember that we came into the world with nothing and we will leave this world with nothing. This is how Jesus said it. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You say, preacher, what's the point? Our God deals well with us in allowing us to enjoy substance. I didn't have to wonder this morning if I was going to have something to eat. I just wondered, Miss Eve, sick, what am I going to eat? Would you like to take a guess? You pour it in a bowl, and you pour milk on top of it, and you growl like a tiger. What'd you do for lunch? You want to know? Cheddar cheese. Crackers. What'd you do for dinner? Well, Miss Eve made some wonderful meatball subs on Monday. And there was some of that stuff left over. And God blessed us with a microwave. And I warmed that stuff up, made me a meatball sub. And I ate that for dinner. What are you going to eat after a while? That ain't none of your business. Amen. No, I didn't have to wonder if I'd have anything to eat. How many can understand that? I didn't have to wonder, Brother Houston, if I had any clothes to wear to church tonight. Now, I did have to scramble. And Charity, thank God, got home in time to tell me this tie goes okay with this. I had something else picked out. It didn't do too good. A colorblind preacher trying to pick out a tie is bad news. Things. Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I believe God wants us to concentrate on an abundance of his word, not an abundance of possessions. I wrote this down. I believe the best guard against covetousness is the best guide, the Bible. A hunger and a thirst for his presence will suppress a hunger and a thirst for possessions. How many believes that? There's nothing wrong. Please don't get me wrong. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever been even sitting in a service just like this? And maybe something blew up just before you left the house. And how many knows what I'm talking about? The enemy wants to consume our heart, consume our mind. Ain't that right? But Jesus wants us to be consumed with his word. I called the message tonight, Our God that deals well with his children. The God that deals well with his children. I'm done with this, but I want to make mention of this one thing before we close. Was Joseph a better man at the end of Genesis than he was in chapter 37? When his daddy made him the coat of many colors. Was he a better man at the end of Genesis? When he said, God's going to visit you. God will surely visit you. I want you to carry my bones up out of this place. You remember that? They put his bones in a coffin, a hope chest in Egypt. I'm going to say this to you. I believe he was. Brother Rose, here's why I believe he was. He understood. Even in the prison, that God deals well with his children. He was able, Brother Lance, to say to his brethren, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. You remember that? Here's what I want to say. Joseph could have been a bitter man, but instead he was a better man. And I believe what will keep you and I from ever becoming bitter would be the thought, God, I don't understand this, but one thing I know, you deal well with your children. You don't make any mistakes, Lord. You see, Martha, You remember in Mary, I'm trying to quit. But they thought Jesus was late, didn't they? Lord, if you'd have just been here. I bet you if you ask him, well, maybe bet you ain't the thing you should say from the pulpit. But I would guarantee if you'd ask them today, they'd say, God deals well with his children. We understand now. Jesus had something to show that day. He has power. Lazarus, come forth. He wanted God, his Father, to be glorified, didn't he? How many's glad you come tonight? Pray for the missionary. Get a prayer card from Brother David. His table's right out the main doors there on the left. And I pray you'll underline that in the Bible. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. I'm going to tell you something. There are times in my life when I didn't know that verse, Brother Rose. It would have helped me. It would have helped me to be able to know and understand that God deals well with his children. Let's pray. Father, we sure do thank you tonight for this good number that's come out for prayer meeting. I pray, God, tonight that these truths would sink deep down into our hearts and in our lives. Lord, that we would always be able to recall that you deal well with your children. Take care of our precious people, Lord. Those that are sick. Lord, I don't think we mentioned Sister Margaret tonight. Lord, I hope we'll always remember to pray for her. She wanted us to pray, Lord, that she could be a good witness to it all. God, I pray for her tonight. Lord, I know tonight that you're a good God and you're good all the time. Lord, some bad things happened to good people. But Lord, in eternity, we'll know all about it in the by and by. We'll understand better then, Lord. But until then, Lord, the psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. That might have been Job that said that, Lord. I can't remember right now. Lord, help us to trust you and to know that you do all things well.